I'm not sure if Agape does it. I know they do at the South Church, which is my home church in Mount Prospect. During Vacation Bible School, we will have sent away for butterflies that are in cocoons, and you can buy them. And the children watch as the cocoon starts to move. And it's every night. It takes many, many hours and sometimes days. And we never know quite when the butterfly is going to come out. But we watch and we watch, and it comes out of the chrysalis, and they dry their wings. And on the last night, it has gotten to be a neighborhood activity as people come out from their homes, and we release the butterflies up into the air. And it is a truly beautiful sight, and it is a great story for children. So butterflies have long before Christians, butterflies have been very symbolic in our cultures. The Egyptians saw the similarity of the cloth wrappings around their bodies, and the mummies, if you will, and the butterfly's cocoon. Very similar. And for these early people and the Greeks, they placed golden butterflies in the tombs because the insect was symbolic of resurrection, of a new life, of immortality. And even in other traditions, the butterfly is symbolic of reincarnation. So it has a long history in terms of being regenerative. Now, in Christian symbology, the butterfly has represented the resurrection. That's why you're hearing all of the references to resurrection this morning. It's almost as if it's Easter. And this is probably a sermon that we would do around Easter at a different time. But what the butterfly represents in Christianity is the resurrection. For it disappears into a cocoon and appears to be dead, but emerges later far more beautiful and powerful than before. It's a great way to explain the concept of resurrection. Now, the stages of a butterfly, the egg, the caterpillar, the chrysalis, and the butterfly, are also just really wonderful analogies to our lives as Christians. So we're going to spend a little time this morning taking a look at each of the stages of a butterfly to see how they might speak to us as Christians. The miracle starts when the egg, the size of the top of the head of a straight pin, is created, just as a human life starts with one small, tiny, fertilized egg. A few short days later, a little tiny caterpillar emerges from that egg, and a baby is born. Now, the caterpillar, I always thought they were cute. I mean, I used to pick them up, and we thought they were cute and fuzzy. Evidently, that's a minority opinion. Evidently, caterpillars are very destructive. What I learned was, from the time they are born, caterpillars do not stop eating. They are ravenous. They will eat, chew, crawl, and destroy millions of dollars worth of crops and plant life annually. And as we heard in this morning's readings, one of the plagues God sent to the Egyptians was caterpillars to eat the crops. So they are very destructive, and they just they can't eat enough. It's constant, 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 constant. That is the focus, feeding themselves, feeding themselves. And if you stop and think about it, does that not remind you of us in our normal earthly life? Do we not go about our daily tasks focused on what we need? Earn money, get the house, pay the bills, get the kids to school. Focus, 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 focus. We go through life chomping our way through the material things that we deem to be important. And once in a while on Sunday, we'll focus on the spiritual things for at least an hour, maybe two. But during the week, it's pretty hard to get FaceTime with spirituality. because we're so obsessed with doing the chewing, and feeding ourselves that we think we need to be spending our time on. Yet what's interesting is, for every caterpillar, there is a moment when they stop being ravenous, and they stop that urge to eat and grow. And instinctively, it will form a cocoon or a chrysalis, same thing, around itself. And during the chrysalis stage, the cocoon hardens and it appears as if the caterpillar is lifeless, which is where we get the symbol of death, just as Christ in the darkness of the tomb. So much like a caterpillar goes into the cocoon and appears to be dead, Jesus went into the tomb and appeared to be dead. Now, the chrysalis and the tomb have been described as a black box, and I like the description. It's one in which we see what goes in and we see what comes out, but what happens in the middle is a mystery. We don't know what happens, and that's what we're curious about. Well, in the case of the caterpillar, what happens in the middle is so amazing. I did not know this. Now, I'm one of those people who always thought, you know, the little caterpillar goes in, you wrap the little cocoon around him, and then he just kind of sprouts feet, you know, kind of like a frog. You know, and then suddenly wings start to appear, and, you know, they just kind of change in a very gentle metamorphosis of, you know, caterpillar to butterfly. Just something very, very simple, very gentle. And boy, once again, I was oh so very wrong. A biologist named Andrei Surikov took a day-old chrysalis and sliced it open. And what he found inside was not a caterpillar, was not a butterfly, and there was nothing halfway in between. There was nothing resembling an animal at all. No heads, no legs, no spine, no wings, nothing. The contents of that chrysalis is a white and oozy goo. Because as it turns out, when the caterpillar goes into the cocoon, its cells rupture and its muscle dissolves. And all that's left is kind of an amino acid protein soup, literally. And the biologist calls what happens to the caterpillar a cataclysmic and catastrophic event. It is a violent, utterly disruptive change. Does that sound familiar? But there's even more. The biology people over at Georgetown, and I don't know why all these people are studying caterpillars, but I'm glad they did. They conducted experiments where they trained caterpillars to respond to smells, either positively or negative smells. And they could distinguish between smells. And then they allowed them to go into their cocoons and to come back out as butterflies. And when they emerged in a totally new life as a butterfly, they retained the same attraction and repulsion to the same smells they had as a caterpillar. Do you get it? Do you understand what happens? Even though as caterpillars they dissolved in their tomb, somehow something remains when they are reconstituted and reborn. So they are a very new thing, but we haven't lost the old. They still retain parts of who they are. And there's even more. When biology professors study young caterpillar anatomy, they discover that within the caterpillar, long before it ever enters into the cocoon, live, microscopically small seeds of butterflies' wings exist. And even before the caterpillar's destruction, the future self also lives in the caterpillar. So what you have is in that mysterious middle, a caterpillar that literally dissolves into a goo of protein and amino acids, but when it comes out as a butterfly, is not only new, but retains some of what they were. And as an old caterpillar, retains something of what is to come, their wings. Very much like Christ, don't you think? When we look at Christ, we could see that Christ was the same after he was out of the tomb. Mary didn't recognize him, not because of any of the injuries, but because he had been transformed. But he still had his scars, and he still retained his message, but yet he was new. And yet, even as an itinerant rabbi, do we not see the future of what Christ is talking about in his baptism, in the transformation on the mountain? We get to see a bit of the future in him as well. So a butterfly is a beautiful representation, truly, of what the resurrection is about. Now, what's interesting is in the last stages, and you have to be very careful here if you think you want to order away and bring butterflies into your home. If you observe a butterfly emerging from the cocoon, you know it takes hours for that butterfly to work its way out, because it's a little tiny hole. And it has to work its way through that tiny hole. It struggles and it pushes and it'll stop and rest because it's tired. And the temptation is to help it out by opening up the hole. And if you do that, you will kill the butterfly. Because you see, as that butterfly is moving through that hole, it is forcing the fluid from the body into the wings so that they fully develop. The butterfly has to go through that pain and that trauma, because God's way of forcing the fluid from the body of the butterfly into the wings is traumatic. That sound like your life? Sometimes we're working our way through tiny little holes that are difficult, and we struggle and we hurt, and it takes time, and we stop and we rest and we continue on, because God has given us a tiny hole to work through so that we can learn and develop into the people that we are destined to be. And once the butterfly comes out, it will spend hours again just letting its wings dry. And as you watch it, it will flap the wings to dry them, kind of walk around a little bit. And it takes several hours. You can't release them until the wings are dry and they're ready to go. And before you know it, the butterfly is gone. It's the symbolic move out of the cage or wherever you are holding it into the air, up high into the air. It is rising towards God. It is moving from the grave to heaven. Now, the major theme in Paul's message this morning is that we all will change. Like butterflies, we change. And the Christian hope is that what is sown in the grave as a weak body gets raised up as an indestructible spiritual body, not subject to temptations, to sorrow, to death, or to pain. Through death, the spirit will escape, not from its body, but from the vulnerabilities and hardships of mortal flesh. The truths of the cocoon are present in Jesus. When he emerged from the black box of the tomb, as we talked about it, the change was cataclysmic. And yet we still wonder how that might apply to us. And the thing that's interesting is that if we stop and we look at the truths of what the butterfly symbolizes and the life cycle that a butterfly goes through, I think we can see how those truths give hope to our promise from God. I would hope that again and again we understand that we need to walk in the way of Christ, and that this is not just a casual commitment. Because if we're to share in the resurrection, in our lives, we must walk the way of Christ. And we know that will bring us at times trouble and pain and suffering, but that God will get us through. That indeed, I think we need to pause and experience sort of our own Good Friday of trauma and cataclysmic activities. We need to know that things will be dissolved and be willing to have things to be dissolved that we cling to, the things that threaten to keep us from being able to move to the spiritual levels that we should. Get rid of the earthly things. That's our Good Friday. Get rid of the vanity. Get rid of the focus on acquisition of material wealth, position, status. We know what those are. Getting rid of those is what our catastrophe is going to be. And we have to enter that black box, and it's dark, and we can't see what's on the other side. Indeed, for some of us, we may even be in that black box right at this moment. And we may, in various stages of our lives, be experimenting with that catastrophe. But think about what happens in that black box and how worth it is. The promise is that the tombstone will roll away. The cocoon will crack open. We will emerge with the Son of God into new life. And when we do, the best and good of our old selves, our old lives, our passions, our virtues, our beauties, our loves, will still be in our hearts. We will be who we are, but redeemed in the light of God's grace. If we want to see beauty, we truly need to look inward at ourselves, where the seed of the resurrection is planted. And God planted that before we were even born. It's there right now, inside every one of us. It is ready to go. It is ready to displace and dissolve all of those things that separate us from God and our neighbors, and to burst forth in just an incredible diversity of radiant color and joy and love and peace. And you may well ask, well, when do we start this? And my response to you would simply be, why not today? Amen.